It feels a lot drier than it did for the last couple days. It felt very soupy. And if you are cleaning up, our thoughts are with you. We continue our real talk about real estate, and in right now is Randy Olson with Prime Title. Good morning, Randy. Did you guys fare okay?
We did fine. Good morning, Tracy.
Well, we heard from some of our listeners who Brentwood really took a beating last night, and so.
Well, I live on Brentwood, as you know.
Oh, really? So you know the house on Karen Drive?
Well,
did you hear about that?
Did not.
A lady and her children, their house just the tree on the house.
But when I drove down Brentwood, it felt like hurricane, post hurricane. Trees down, limbs in the street, having to go around it, full of water.
Wow.
Yeah, I was at Rez last night, and it lost power, and everybody was trying to figure out what to do. So it was, and driving home was interesting.
Yeah.
You lost no branches in your yard, Randy?
No, any major branches.
I got you.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody has a branch or two somewhere. It depends on the size, I think, is the big question. Now, I wanted to talk to you really quickly before we get into a little bit about closing itself, but Deborah talked about home maintenance, looking for different things, making sure certain things aren't broken. I mean, if a tree's not sticking out your roof, what do you need to look for? And we talked about making sure that the shingles on your roof are okay and that sort of thing. And checking for that damage is important, especially if you go to close a house, right? I mean, go to sell a house, right?
Yes, there's a disclosure requirement. There's a law that says that you have to disclose any issues. And there's a form that most sellers fill out, especially if they're working with a realtor. That's one of the preliminary documents they'll sign. It's like 5 pages of questions, all kinds of stuff about this, about your house. You just filled it out. You know what I'm talking about. So you fill that out, and it's very important to disclose. And one of the things you and I discussed off air was, you know, redhibition. Now, people might not know what that is, but that's basically a Louisiana law that says that as a seller, you warrant the condition of your home, you know, after closing for 1 year from hidden defects.
Okay.
So that's the law. However, probably 95% of my closings on residential houses are, they waive that redhibition right, the buyer does, through buying it, quote, as is.
Uh-huh.
You've heard that term before.
Right.
So most of the houses are sold as is, and as I tell my buyer clients, I said, you need to inspect it well before closing so that you can, because you after closing, you've inherited whatever problems you have.
Right,
if something breaks, if you discover a major defect, it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
So please do your due diligence, your inspections and that type of thing. The exception to the rule, which is what you and I talked about, is disclosure. If a seller knows of a defect and fails to disclose it, then they will still be liable, even if the sale is an as-is sale. Mm-hmm. The as-is language is stricken by the courts, considering it fraud, and you could be held liable for that defect.
Right.
So that's it's so important to disclose. I always tell people, if you're not sure, disclose it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in there. You know, if it's flooded before, you definitely want to say that. If you've had other issues, you just disclose it. That way, you won't have this issue come up.
Yeah, because, boy, I tell you what, to be sweating for a year because you decided not to tell somebody, you know, that's scary.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to put yourself in that situation. So it's just one more reason why you want to check around your house. You want to check around the windows. You want to check around whatever just to make sure, because you don't, even if you didn't know about it and you didn't disclose it, you may get into a legal wrangling, right?
Oh, it's possible. Absolutely.
You know, just for the buyers to say, oh, yeah, you knew about that. Well, I didn't know about it. Well, where is the burden of proof? You know, where does that lie? So it's not something that you want to continue to deal with. So that's just a note as we continue to make our way through the aftermath of last night's craziness and those storms that blew through. Now, let's talk about closing, because at that point, you talked about signing as is and that sort of thing and getting there. Tell us about that procedure.
Okay, well, the closing is the culmination of a transaction of real estate. So you typically sign a purchase agreement. That's just an agreement to buy and to sell. And then the parties go through their due diligence between that and the closing, which is typically financing issues, title issues, inspections, all of those things you do. And then you go to the closing. The closing is the day when you choose a day. For the buyer and the seller, typically they get together with a title company like Prime Title, and you sign papers where the ownership of the property is transferred to the buyer from the seller, and then the buyer pays the seller the proceeds. So that's in a very, very simple way telling what it's all about. Now, closings can go in so many different ways.
Right.
Sometimes the buyers and sellers can't be there at the same time, so we have to have different times. Sometimes they live elsewhere, so we have to send documents to them there to be signed and notarized where they are and sent back. Many times people will be signing through power of attorney. Mm-hmm. You've heard that. And so you have to make sure the power of attorney is done correctly. Sometimes you have to understand the dynamics of the parties. Buyers and sellers may not get along very well.
Oh, that happens? Really?
Oh, really?
Look at his face. I wish y'all could see his face because he was like, oh, yeah, it happens. I would not. Because I can't imagine a seller selling their house to somebody they don't like.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely happens. The two things would sometimes they get crosswise in the process. And it's just I can walk in the room sometimes and you can cut the tension with a knife.
No kidding.
So what I always instruct the people involved, like realtors, if mm-hmm. you know a situation like that, let us know and we'll put them in different rooms. You know, and of course, divorcing husbands and wives selling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That happens quite often. So again, they may not want to be in the room together. That's doable. You know, it's just a matter of us knowing. We don't a lot of times know the dynamics of the situation unless somebody tells us or until we get there. So, you know, there's different closings, different things to do as far as paperwork, but that's it just happens in different ways, and we have to be flexible to do that. And then, you know, from the preparation standpoint, as a buyer, you know, you got to get your insurance ahead of time. One thing that people may not know is if there's a named storm in the Gulf of Mexico, you can't get insurance.
We talked about that with Deborah, so get it beforehand.
Yeah, so it kills the deal. You can't close until they can get insurance. So we've had closings all for a week or two, you know, and that's a big deal for people. They have everything lined up to close.
Yeah, they're ready to go someplace, and they don't have any place to go, so they're living wherever.
That's right. That's right. It's a big deal. We have to have certified funds when you come to closing. So certified funds, what is that? Well, that can be a lot of things. It can be wired money. You can wire it from your account to our account. We talked about wire fraud in a previous episode of this. So we just be aware of that. Be very, very careful that you know where you're wiring the money. But that's a very easy way to do it. Certified funds would be cashier's checks, money orders. And sometimes I've had cash. I mean, literally.
That amount of cash?
Well,
to buy a house?
I've had as much as $70,000 of cash.
Whoa.
Yeah. And
that I would be scared to be sitting in a room with that much cash just because, you know, you never know. Grab the money and run, so to speak, you know?
You know, I have to, I don't care for that. I don't really, because a couple of reasons. One is I have to sit there and count it in front of everybody and make sure I've got all the money. It's all usually in 20s and 100s, so it takes a long time to do. And then when you go to the bank, you have to report it. Anything over $10,000 cash, there's a lot of reporting information, that kind of thing. So we typically don't like to do that. But it is certified funds. It's about as good as you can get, right?
Right, yeah.
So anyway, that's it. So
and that's okay. It happens, Randy. Yeah, somebody's calling you. They're saying, hey, I hear you on the radio.
Yeah, I thought I'd silence that, but apparently I did not.
Believe me, it's completely okay.
So. Anyway, that's it. Utilities, they got to switch utilities. That's another thing I always in connection with the closing. And a lot of people forget to do that. And, you know, it's like, you know, you got to figure out what utilities you have, you know, gas and electricity, of course, and anything else. They got to switch that over. And you don't want to turn them off. You want to just have them switched over. So these are things we discuss as part of the closing process.
Right.
And it you know, it's just part of what we do, you know, the homestead exemption. I think we may have talked about that. That's something we do for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get them to sign it for us and we'll file it so that they can avoid that. So, you know, keys, a lot of people don't think about that. Well, we got to bring keys to the closing table and give them the keys. And we talk about if there are any extra keys, does the neighbor have a key? Little stuff like that you discuss as part of the closing process.
I have a question. So you talked about that when there's a named storm in the Gulf, you can't get insurance. Okay, so you're in the process, you're ready to do the deal, and a named storm in the Gulf pops up. And you say, well, we can't do this because the named storm, you're not going to be able to get your insurance. But the house is ready for sale. So they say, okay, we'll wait till the storm passes. What if there's damage to that house that's up to sale And then a week or two later, it's no longer titled. They no longer own the home. Is the insurance company going to balk on paying that damage on the house that's now sold to somebody else?
Well, they shouldn't. I mean, they the insurance for the seller in that situation would be the responsible insurer for it. And they as a buyer, I would want to make sure I would be inspecting it. I want to know the damage. I would want to make sure the insurance is going to pay for it. I might not want to close until get all that straightened out to your satisfaction as a buyer.
Throws a monkey wrench into the deal, as it were.
Oh, big time.
And you were talking about all of, I mean, and it can be mind-boggling when you think about all of the things you need to worry about. A, if you work with somebody, a realtor, or ask you guys questions, you can help them, I'm sure, at least direct them, say, "This is, these are the things you need to do." But the important thing, too, is you get a lot of these documentation, the documents beforehand, or at least the information that's going to be on them, correct?
Yes, you do. You do. We the lender will send certain documents, but the biggest one is the settlement statement, the money.
Mm-hmm.
And in a residential transaction, when there's a lender involved, it's now called a closing disclosure. Mm-hmm. Used to be called a HUD settlement statement. It's all the same. It deals with the money, and that's something that the title company handles. So we tell everybody, we work with the lender first to get the numbers right from the lender perspective and from the buyer's and seller's perspective. And then we'll send out drafts of that. The closing disclosure by law has to be given to them, to the buyer, 3 business days before the closing. Mm-hmm. That's a relatively new law, which is a good thing. So they have an opportunity to evaluate it to make sure it's not something that surprises them or issues. But then we'll send it to the realtors. We'll send it to the seller, because there's a seller's closing disclosure and a buyer's closing, 2 different documents.
Right.
So we'll send it to them. And really, it addresses all the issues with money. Obviously, sales price, real estate commissions, if they have a mortgage on their loans, we prorate taxes. Mm-hmm. Typically, the taxes are prorated, but a lot of people don't understand this. The seller, the tax bills in every parish in the state except Orleans are due in arrears, like November, December of that year. So our 2024 Lafayette Parish taxes, you'll get that bill in December. So the way we handle taxes, property taxes for the current year, 2024, is we prorate them, and we collect almost always from the seller and give their portion of the taxes for 2024 to the buyer as a credit. So it's like prepaying it.
Uh-huh.
But it's to the buyer. So I always have to tell the buyer, look, you're going to get this credit, but at the end of the year, you pay the bill, 100% of it. And then the other issue is, do you have an escrow account that already has that money in it? And then the bill gets paid by your lender.
Right.
So every year we get inundated with questions on taxes, and that's one of the biggest issues, is the proration of taxes. So we deal with collection of monies, closing costs are factored in. So we will, that settlement statement will indicate, Mr. Buyer, you have to bring me a certified check or cashier check or wire for this amount of dollars. And then, and Mr. Ms. Seller, you're going to get this amount of net dollars. After we pay your loan off, after we pay the commission, any closing costs you have, they will get this amount. And we will give them our check. That's typically how we do it. But we also, if they need us to wire it, we can wire it to their account.
Hmm. I'm going to simplify things, and I don't know if this is a topic for another day, but I'm going to make it more simpler, Randy, because you're talking about a seller and a buyer. You build a house. You own the property. Let's say you've got a lot. Mm-hmm. You went and you bought the lot, and I'm describing, excuse me, my situation from 20 years ago. You buy a lot. You have a house built. Now you have to attain a title for that. So can you talk generally about the differences when you have a seller involved and a buyer, or you're building a new home? There's a difference, I'm sure, in the title process.
Well, the title-wise, you would buy the lot. That would be a transaction. You acquire the lot. But then later you may build the house. Is that kind of your situation,
yes,
Mark? Okay. So based on that, you would do a closing for just a new construction home on your existing. It's between you, the lender, and the title company. You would already check the title when you bought the lot initially, but I would have to check the title again when you borrow the money, because something could have happened to title in between. So you'll have to do a closing, put the loan with title involved, and you put a mortgage in place on the home, on the lot, to secure the loan that will fund the construction of your new home.
And if you ask what may have happened in the meantime, we had that discussion earlier with, can somebody steal my house? They can't steal your house, but they can certainly file documents at the clerk of court's office. Yeah. So it's important to have those documents reviewed as often as you need to, you will.
Yeah, the lenders always want to make sure that title to the property that's collateral for their loan is good. So they're going to always have it checked by a title attorney, and usually with title insurance involved. And that's a topic for another day.
Yes, we will definitely talk about that. And remember, if you have a question for Randy about maybe a situation you were in or you have something coming up, then please let us know. You can log on to our app and submit a question there. You can go to our website. Each of us have links to our email addresses, and we'd be happy to do that. Randy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Always educational. KPL News Time is 8:27.
Want to save hundreds on your electric bill? Well, we'll try to help you out. Coming up next for Mr. Electric. We'll get your